Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Thank you for joining us. It's kind of late.
I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you do this.
Oh, yeah?
Do you always do it at 11 p.m.?
Yeah, every Thursday.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Is it because Ken is too pretty? He doesn't want to do it earlier? Or?
Yeah, well, no. I. You know what? At 11,
I can
I'm,
rip
I'm,
on Ken
I'm,
right
I'm,
now. He's
like,
not here, right?
So he's,
I can rip on him a bit.
Yeah, you could. You could. Yeah, I mean, no, I guess I just, I get going around 11, you know? So I'll, I'll go. I have a very short going window, right? So I'm probably, I'll go from about 11 till about 1. And then quit for the night. And then the dog wakes me up at 5:36 ish. So I'm back up and then back at her. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. This is new territory for me in the last couple of years. Now with young ones, we're usually in bed at 10. Right?
Okay. So yeah.
I told Ken I'm sleeping in the spare bedroom tonight because I was told I'm not coming in at midnight or 12:30. Yeah.
Won't be waking me up.
Adrenaline run. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
wow.
I won't have the best sleep, but whatever. That's
How old are your kids?
I got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So,
amazing.
It's been a little bit of homeschooling over the last 3 months, 4 months, whatever it's been. So kudos to my wife. I didn't really participate in much of it, but
It's crazy.
It's been unusual times, right? Everybody's going through it, so it's different. But we look at it as we're fortunate. We have young kids that aren't really at that age where they're, you know, having to really focus on academics, right?
Okay.
I couldn't imagine being grade 11 and grade 12, you know, trying to get your marks ready for, you know, post-secondary. So Look at me. I got my headset on.
Oh, look at you.
No
branded.
Video.
What a,
no video.
What a loser. You're branded. It's a podcast, you mental case. Nobody can see you. What are you covering your hair?
Story. We got the kids down around 8:30 and I puttered. And Amber's like, what are you doing? Like, I cut the grass, doing the dishes. Trying to clean the garage. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to stay awake. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying not to have a drink either. I want to be sober for you too.
Go grocery shopping.
I told him, I said,
I'm good now.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Okay. All
First
right.
off, it's a so podcast that three people are going to listen to. It's only the three of us. Second, the old man can't stay past 11 o'clock. You're 36 years old. What's the matter with you?
It's tough. So I went grocery shopping. You know, she's like, go to your safe spot.
Exactly.
And I just love walking in the grocery store. So I walked around, took pictures, you know, and saw some interesting characters. Like people were like full on gown still. It's
a
different world now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys spiking in your area or either of your areas?
We had 11 new cases yesterday, I think, or today. I'm not sure. I've stopped following or watching and
I think we're Peel, so we're one of the last two regions in Ontario to go to stage two. We still have cases, but they haven't. I think they get smaller by the day. So we flattened, and then we're dropping, but we still have new cases.
I think Windsor's just opening tomorrow, right? Windsor is just officially phase two tomorrow. So
I think they're the last to go. No.
Yeah, but they're also close to the other country.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit of a shit
show.
People.
The other folks. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., right? In the South, it's spiking again.
And 5,000 in California, 5,000 in Texas, 5,000 in Florida. Like, what the hell?
It's craziness.
Like, their graph is going back up, right? So it's like a U.
I
don't understand those people.
Yeah.
What the hell do we know?
So we have a reluctant guest on tonight.
Oh, it's a drag this one onto the show.
Hold on. Oh, my God. I need to come on to the last, I think, 5 months. I just couldn't get a time slot.
Oh, whatever.
You guys have a short cancellation.
That's a sales guy, Phil. Full of shit. Full of shit.
I love it.
I'm okay with being the second option, but, you know, to be the 16th option, hey, you know, at least I'm on. Hey. At least I'm now in the game.
Top 20.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Top 20.
Oh, man.
I've been on the bench with my shoes done up, you know, ready to go. You know, I've been, you know, wearing my 23, my Jordans. I'm ready, but finally in the game. I'm in the game, finally. I'm like Steve Kerr. Give me the ball. I'll be ready.
Let's see how many from downtown we hit tonight.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be airballing all night.
Not likely. Can't do any worse than Phil and I are going to do.
All right, Kenny.
Practice.
Let's do the intro. Do you want to introduce Mark?
Yeah, sure. So special guest tonight is Mark Sterling. Mark is the VP of sales for Pauling Labs, I guess Canada, international, and states. Like his, well, of everything, of all the sales, period. So Pauling Labs is NRC. Which is a very nice vitamin C supplement on the market. That's the format is an effervescent, so you add to water. Fantastic product. I thought, and so did Phil, I thought it'd be, we've tried to have a diverse group of people on the last couple months, and I thought it'd be cool to have somebody who's from the sales side, maybe to talk about what the challenges are in Canada or the States, I guess, for that matter, or supply chain issues. Like, how do you manage, you know, in sort of the time of COVID across this country of ours? Because as Mark, I'm sure, will share that we've had definitive challenges with supply chain as a company, and it's been interesting, and we've had to manage disappointment with some customers and not too bad with others. And it's been shitty because we can't get out to see people and just all those type of things. So that's really what it is. So Mark is completely involved in the sales of Pauling, upside down, up, around, all over the place. So he's got a wealth of knowledge, been in the industry for a long time, but we'll let Mark describe more of that. But I don't know. I thought it'd be kind of cool. It's a neat product line for one, and two, he covers a lot of territory. Period. Well, the world.
I'm hoping I influence some listeners because I am guilty of buying a case of Midday Squares, following Jake's appearance, buying Smart Sweets at Costco. If some people can buy some energy, hey, help us out a little bit, right?
We, you know, peach mango only. Peach mango only.
Buy it up, right? If you can find it. But
if you want orange or raspberry, do not come to us. Peach mango, we are your guys tonight.
Yeah,
we can talk about that in a second. That's been a challenge in its own right. But
oh man.
Anyway, so Mark, if you want to maybe just continue on and give us an idea of who you are, what you've been doing, how long you've been in the industry.
I was waiting for you to share because Phil always asks you, when was the first time you met Mark? I want to hear the story.
Question.
You drove your little hot rod up to Whistler, your little top down, just, you know, coming in, shirt unbuttoned to, you know, the chest hair flowing out, and me.
Seriously. Wow. Okay. Anyway, the other thing you're going to notice, Phil, full of shit. Typical sales guy, right? Just so you know. So the stories, you got to read between the lines. There's probably an element of truth somewhere in there, but not too much.
I love it.
Very clear.
I love it.
Oh, it's fun though. It's fun. So I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Tell us who you are. Like, what?
Yeah. Tell us who you are. And then definitely tell us how you met Kenny.
Well, you know, growing up, I wanted to be a comedian, obviously, with my funny jokes, but those ended fairly quickly as I found out that I'm not funny. My wife reminds me every day that I'm not funny, but I do tend to have fun. I don't even know where to begin. My journey started just in, you know, southwestern Ontario, average kid, growing up the Canadian life. I was a hockey, you know, player, hyper-competitive, hyper-active, you know, kindergarten, always wanted to be the first in the line, first in the sandbox, first to everything. And it's kind of continued on through my life of, you know, wanted to be in the adrenaline run of a roller coaster of the sales world. I remember graduating high school. I was one of the lucky Ontario kids graduating double cohort year. So just to give you my age, I was grade 13, and I was going into the post-secondary world with a grade 12 class as well. And I wasn't the best academic. I wasn't the worst academic. So my grades didn't get me into the school I necessarily wanted or the programs I necessarily wanted. So I ended up settling on where could I go to school that I could still play hockey and still, you know, live the dream that I was trying to live. And I went to Fanshawe College in London, did a double diploma for marketing, and absolutely loved it. But in terms of, you know, some of my professors, they said, if you want to be a really great marketer, you got to start in sales. You got to do sales. Yeah. And, you know, I remember this vividly, my dad talking to me again in March of the last semester before graduation, goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, oh, shit, you know, what am I going to do? There were some classmates going to Australia to get their MBA and BAs. And I was like, I don't really want to move around, you know, across the world and go into that great of debt. And I just want to get working and start having fun. And ended up landing at Frito-Lay as a chip guy and absolutely crushed it. Loved it. Everybody loves the chip guy. But I got a great wealth of knowledge in terms of merchandising, which has really benefited me now with, you know, our brands and past world of how to properly set up displays that you can get that, you know, quick sale. And really that cross merchandising, the secondary, third placement within the stores, how to sweet talk store managers and, you know, sweet talk everybody. And that really gave me the groundwork. But I was surrounded by, you know, a lot of veterans, 30 plus year veterans that I just didn't see myself going down that path. And I was just a number. So I took a real leap of faith to go to the startup company that was doing magazines, screw magazines, where I was selling ads and doing all that kind of great stuff. And we had some fun there. We did some trade shows. We did one of the highlights was we did a mental health symposium where we had an MC, Ron Ellis, as a hockey guy growing up. He was on the Team Canada Summit Series. Had a great picture with him, but our keynote speaker was Margaret Trudeau. And that was kind of cool to kind of meet her and the legend she is. And, you know, I have a memory of the after kind of the VIP where we did some meet and greets with her. And obviously as the organizer, we had some more intimate time. And when I say intimate time, we were quite intimate where she, you know, rubbed my leg, looked me in the eyes and said, Mark, fake it till you make it. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't think that's the greatest advice, but, you know, nonetheless, you know, I got my knee rubbed and I'll move on. Right. I'm in the line now. Yeah. And one of my accounts at that time that I was servicing, was a brand called Emergency. And, one day I was doing my regular call and servicing and getting a lot of no's. And, Jillian at the time who was with the brand said, Mark, you give really good phone. And I didn't know what she was talking about. She was just like, you know, I like your personality. We're growing. We're looking for someone, you know, would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. It's 2007. Marketing dollars were starting to dry up. I kind of saw the, you know, what was coming up in terms of budgets and all that kind of stuff. And I said, sure. What does that mean? I met with Richard, who's my boss now in Toronto in September. And you know, he brushed me off. It had no interest in me at all. Like, he's like, get out of here, this young punk or whatever. And I was kind of snooty. I was wearing a shirt and like a dress shirt. I was kind of snooty. And anyways, kept in touch with Jillian. And then one day finally got the contract, got the offer, packed up the car and drove to Vancouver with my dad who was retired and shacked up with my aunt and uncle for 2-3 months until I found an apartment to make sure it was the right fit for me. Yeah. And started working in the effervescent vitamin C world in 2000, I think it was 2008, and haven't looked back since and really enjoyed it and have been a big vitamin C fan forever. So it's just kind of fit within my lifestyle in terms of one of the main supplements I've been taking since I was a young kid. And I love the delivery. I love the funness of it, the colors, the excitement. And I've been along with the journey with Richard when he launched NRC and created it when we lost the rights to Emergency when bought by acquired by Pfizer, and have had a lot of ups and downs and great laughs and great times, and developed great friendship bonds, and he's one of my best friends, and yeah, now we're just having a lot of fun, and I've grown a lot since that little kid that met with him back in 2000, whenever it was, and it's where I am today, and I've took a lot of hardships, a lot of no's, but that's where my competitive desire and will and, you know, just notes nonstop kind of helps me out. And sales is not for an everybody's world. And it definitely has changed from when I kind of really first got into it, where it is today. But I wouldn't want to be in any other world. You know, I love the thrill of getting a PO, whether it's a $20 PO or a $20,000 PO. I'll take them all.
Nice.
So that's literally that nutshell. Is that okay, Ken?
It's your story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, that's great.
It's
that's
your
great
story.
I would love to, if you wouldn't mind, the category and a little bit more about NRC, I think would help listeners as well. So if you don't mind covering a little bit of that, like this vitamin C and then effervescence and all this kind of stuff. If you wouldn't mind kind of blowing that up a little bit, because I think that will help people understand what you do.
We launched NRC in 2013, June 1st, the first week of June 2013, because it was my honeymoon when we were first shipping. So I know that because it's based on my anniversary. So I know when we launched. And we went to market as a copycat, essentially, basically identical knockoff, however, a better formulation, better tasting profile. And we did the Coca-Cola Pepsi taste challenge, and we went to all our past contacts, past relationships. And one thing that we've always maintained, have always had solid relationships with all our key accounts and key buyers, so that we were getting meetings and we were able to secure listings relatively, I wouldn't say quickly, but a lot, I guess, quicker than most startups would, just based on our past knowledge of the category, past knowledge of, you know, successful working relationships with these people. And they knew that we wouldn't let them down in terms of just, you know, fading away or bubbling away over time. We were here for the long haul, and we were looking to create long-term partnerships. And we still have very long-term partnerships with all the accounts that, you know, started with us. I remember the big carrot, you know, meeting with them in January after we lost Emergency, and telling them about what we were doing. And before we even had a price or a wholesale cost, you know, the buyer said, give me a dozen of each of your flavors. And that was our first PO. It was just kind of like having a coffee, a lunch of talking about what we were thinking of doing or what was in the work. And that basically happened. In terms of vitamin C and the category itself, you know, it's a great immunity supplement. Everybody knows it's for its antioxidant properties. It's great. There's different formats out there, different forms of vitamin C. There's different quantities of vitamin C. So it's a pretty competitive category. Where we kind of stand out is that we are fun. And it's a lifestyle type of drink that it really is for everybody. There's no real demographic that you fit into. Definitely on the go business professionals or just moms or dads or just athletes, just anybody really. It fits everybody's lifestyle because it's easy, convenient, and everybody should be drinking more fluid. And this is a great way for them to drink a healthy source of fluid. So we really kind of stood out, and that's where we kind of built our foundation or you know, to our successful where we are today. I don't know if it's successful, but I think we've done a lot over the last couple of years, where we just had that solid base based on strong relationships, because they looked at us as a trusted, trusted ally, trusted advisor, trusted just people. We were people behind the brand, not just a large, you know, OTC, CPG brand company. So they really kind of helped us out, and we really sold our story. And that's really what we kind of, you know, used as our value proposition, is that, you know, we are a better alternative. You know, how does all those Fiji waters and Nestle waters and differentiate themselves? It's all on a story of some sort, where they source their water. So we really just had to come up with our story, which was easy. You know, we were the brand before, and now we were going up against ourselves. Yeah. And we kind of put ourselves as, you know, David and Goliath. And, you know, we were these little guys, and we're still these little guys going up against the large giant. And we're just, you know, we believe there's enough out there for everybody. And we just want to take a little sliver, and if not a bigger sliver now. So
bigger, always bigger.
We're going big now. It's fully on now.
It's starting.
So, timely product, right? We're in the, you know, it's funny. I was telling Kenny this, I think. I know. I think Kenny was part of the conversation. We were in Florida, and we were having drinks with a friend of mine who's a doctor, and This was right at the end of February, beginning of March, literally at the end of February. I think we got out of Orlando maybe a week before the first COVID case showed up there. Something like that, right, Kenny? And over drinks, we weren't grilling him, but we were like, look, you know, you're a doctor, you're kind of on the front lines, you're looking at this stuff. What can we do as, you know, regular people? Like, we're guys that are kind of always trying to figure out how to protect the families, you know,
and we travel
all that kind of stuff. We travel a lot.
It.
Yeah. And one of the questions was like, look, how do you protect yourself against COVID? And his kind of answer was like, there's not a whole lot you can do. Like, there's a lot of like standing around and watching it come. But the only thing that you can really do that sounds lame but really isn't is you can look after yourself. Make sure you're healthy. Make sure you're as healthy as you can be. You know, so if you contract COVID or you know, you're giving yourself the best shot and keeping your family as healthy as it can be. So it feels like NRC is kind of you know, timely in that sense, right? So what were trends like? I have a friend who runs Purell for Canada, and she like, you know, so when I talked to her, she was like,
drinking gold,
you know, oh my God. Like, so her name's Stephanie Ball and she's amazing. She's German. She's OCD. And she says to me, Chang, I don't have a fucking minute for you. The place has gone fucking bonkers. I will see you in a month. And then like promptly hangs up the phone and like, love Stephanie Ball, right? Like, she and I have been friends for years and years and years and years. I couldn't stop laughing, right? Because every time I saw Purell after that, all I could see her doing was like, I don't have any more. You know, like, so I'm curious, like, so when, you know, like, how has COVID kind of changed the landscape of the business for you? You know, things you've had to adjust to.
I absolutely hate it because we can't fill orders. We're not getting those orders. And, you know, I've talked to a bunch of different suppliers and vendors that are out there and who have similar type of immunity product, maybe not in the vitamin C, but another immunity product. And they told me that, oh, they were preparing for this in January when they saw the trends, what was happening in Asia. And I said, you're full of it. There's no way anybody really saw the impact that it's going to be having. I think you could have potentially. But I think we all kind of got blindsided a fair bit about it. And, you know, I vividly remember March 13th because it was the last day for our kids or my daughter in school before spring break. And they announced, hey, 2 weeks after, you know, March break in Ontario, we're on lockdown. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't know what that meant at that time. We had no idea. We were just like, okay, it's 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, it's another. Yeah. And then it's just, oh, and we still don't know to this day where, you know, it's June 25th and we don't know when things will, you know, happen.
Yeah.
For us, it's still a roller coaster, but it was an awesome ride. And I wish I would have took better notes that if we ever go through a pandemic again, we have kind of a blueprint of what to do in terms of allocation and, you know, putting on limits, because we got blindsided where we had distributors, you know, buying the regular amounts, and we had just new accounts coming on board, which we thought were great, but, you know, they were just, you know, maybe they are long-term partners, but they are taking definitely advantage of the situation of immunity, you know, spikes, just like toilet paper, just like hair dye did, you know, later on in COVID. The immunity was one of the, you know, categories that really took the, you know, catapulted up and really maintained that high peak as long as you could supply it, I guess, for a long time. And now we're starting to see immunity category declining, I guess, or leveling out to where it should be in terms of June 25th, where, you know, Ontario last week and, you know, we're now in summer, right? We're at 30 degree weather, you know, mid 20s or whatever it may be. So people aren't necessarily thinking immunity. And I think that's where, you know, if cases do start to spike again, it could be because of it's nice weather out, we're going out and we're letting our barriers down. So I think we're being as proactive as we can and trying to, you know, increase our capacity and, you know, just production and trying to get ahead of it. But we're still trying to catch up, which is a really difficult problem. And for a guy who has no interest in supply chain or, you know, production or anything, it's challenging because I don't want part of those meetings. I just want to sell the shit. And I you know, I can't go full at it. So, you know, it's a little bit hard to say, hey, put the brakes on or slow down when there's opportunities that are out there. You know, hopefully those opportunities will be out there again when we're ready. But, you know, the one thing that we have learned is that, you know, being transparent in terms of what our issues are. You know, don't have to, you know, share all the details, but communicating with our partners saying, you know what, this is what we're doing. This is our new strategy. We're producing only four flavors to get caught up on our top four. And then our next two will come out in this period, right? And giving them loose time frames so that I've been told by a wise man to never give firm dates because it will bite you in the ass. And, you know, I got bit today a little bit, but, you know, it's life, right? It's lessons learned. But, you know, it's a constant battle of just, you know, trying to catch up, and then a new opportunity comes, you fill it, and then you're back in square one. So if we had a crystal ball, we would definitely have changed this and got loaded up. But I don't think even that, if we got prepared, I think we still would have been blasted with it. And I think we would have just had more product to sell.
You can't. I don't know. I learned this. I mean, I ran Purell. I used to be with Pfizer, right? And so we had Purell when SARS hit, you know, and
we couldn't keep up.
You know, no, you know, I mean, like
once it hit, it was gone. It was done.
You couldn't keep anybody happy, right? So you had X number of cases. We kind of walked through the rationale. You know, we did what I think every brand does. You do something called allocation. So you give, you know, roughly a percentage based on their significance to your business, right? So you cut them roughly that many cases, right? But no one's ever happy, right? Like I remember having Walmart call and just jump down my throat, right? Like, you better get me stuff, or, you know, like, we'll make sure that you never hit another shelf again for, you know, and you're kind of like, I don't have product anyway. Like I give you what I have, but I don't have anymore. Right. Like I don't, you know, and I remember then retailers getting super creative. Like I remember, you know, we had like sample bottles without UPC codes on them, and dollar store said to us, don't worry about it. We got it. And I was like, what? How do you, they're like, yeah, we got this. This is what we do all the time. You're like, all right. You know? So literally, you know, like when we were done it, like, there wasn't any Purell, and like employees would stop by and go, hey, could we get some Purell? And you're like, no, sorry, man. Like I got nothing. Like, if you want to go stand at the end of the line and just catch the drips as they come out, like, you know, so it's kind of interesting.
And that's like, one thing that, you know, we leaned on people who had the SARS experience, I guess, and going through, you know, an allocation, as you mentioned, of like, how did they do it? You know, you know, that's going back a long time. And I don't know how SARS and COVID differ or are similar, but, you know, definitely a pandemic and definitely some, you know, immunity craze and sanitizing craze. And, you know, I don't know if there's so much stockpiling in the consumer behavior in terms of pantry loading when it happened with SARS. From everything I kind of read is that no one was on lockdown. No one had the fear. No one had the fear of toilet paper running out or being stuck at home for a month with no toilet paper, right?
So there wasn't a change in consumer behavior, right? Because you still went to store, you used more Purell, you used more hand sanitizer because you worried about that.
We were selling a ton of immunity. You know, we were selling. So masks were selling.
But
the difference was, too, it was in Hong Kong. It wasn't China.
Yeah.
So Hong Kong took a very different approach. It was much more open. They went Looney Tunes right away. I mean, because a lot of it was, you know, Hong Kong was not a clean city. There was rats in the alleys and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could eat in the alleys after SARS. I mean, they really went nuts.
Yeah, they went crazy.
And
yeah,
I think even Canada, we were on it probably, which is weird to say because we didn't know anything. We were on it faster than this one.
Yeah.
And this one we saw coming. I remember I sent a note. I remember we were leaving either for Mexico or I was in Mexico. And I think I sent a note to you, to Chloe, and to Richard and said, listen, this feels like what it felt. Are we ready? And it didn't matter. We weren't going to get ready that fast. We only had another month.
No one was ready. It didn't matter.
But nobody was ready for a pandemic. The last pandemic is the Spanish flu. Nobody's 102 years old and remembers it. You know, it's not. It just.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So how do you manage this disappointment, Mark? So like you've got clients. Yeah. I mean, I know because I'm obviously involved with it, but you know, you're front line. So what do you do? Like, you know, we've shorted as many people and as many orders as we filled.
Yeah.
How do you manage it? How do you tell a person that you were important last week, but this week, you know what, you're not going to get what you think you're going to get?
It's hard, right? And it's really trusted, you know, relying on those past relationships or those relationships you've built and formed over the last, you know, years or months or whatever it may be, and just have an honest, open dialogue with them. That's really the main thing that we've learned. But also let them know that you're trying your best to get them what they need or what they want. Offer them something else as an alternative, right? You know, old me would probably have promised them some dollars or something. New me probably has been taught not to offer anything and just be as open and transparent as you can. Yeah. And that's really it. It's try to get them what you can and just keep them, you know, informed as much as they need to be informed and just continue to work hard. If you lose the space, you know what, you have to work hard again to get it back. And that's a potential reality. You know, there is going to be, you know, major category SKU rationalizations by the king himself, of SKU rats, right? There is going to be more, you know, cleaner shelves, more less maybe assortment and just more key brands within each category. You know, I definitely do see that, but I also understand that, you know, there's a lot of big box stores and a lot of major grocery retailers that have a lot of shelf space. So, you know, are they going to triple face, you know, quadruple face, or are they going to look for more of a flavor assortment or profile? So it's how can we get creative in terms of holding our shelf space? And it's really just giving them, you know, innovative ways to merchandise in terms of double facings or triple facings or using POS material, marketing material to hold that shelf space just as a space filler in the short term. So, you know, we can do that with more independent, the smaller grocers, but, you know, for the larger ones, it's you know, just having holes on shelves and working to fill those as much as we can.
There's an interesting longer term play in this too, I think. I mean, just the idea that, you know, this, the second wave, you know, we barely understand the first wave.
We're not even out of the first wave. Know.
Yeah. And we've got a second wave that quite honestly, you know, the kind of the chatter around that has picked up significantly over the last, you know, kind of week and a half. Right. And so, you know, being out of stock or being short on product right now with the longer term play of look like we're going to work with you to figure out like what second wave could look like. We know more things now than we did for first wave. We didn't know anything for first wave. Is there something we can do from a longer term play, right? Knowing that we've done our best to supply you now, we've shorted you, you're clearly not happy. You're not going to be happy, but you know, as a partner, there's still a longer, you know, I think there's a conversation there. It's not any easier.
Well, I think Mark can give you an example. Mark can tell you what Pauline is sort of going to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can talk about, you know, how we're going to go to allocate, like, what are we going to produce now potentially for the next half year and where do we go?
Well, you know, when we were doing the allocation, you know, while Ontario was in phase one, or whatever lockdown you want to classify it, mm-hmm. you know, we allocated based on what did that store footprint look like? Was it a true grocer? Did it have a grocery assortment? Because we looked at consumer behaviors. You know, they were not visiting the you know, the independent smaller stores. They were going to more of a one-stop shop. So how do we get to the best visible and the higher traffic stores? So by default, we went more grocery, you know, than more of the smaller health retailers that were just more specialized in supplements. And most of those stores were, you know, closed for just curbside pickup or online orders. So, you know, yeah, we did try to service those, but we really went where we knew the stores were open. So we went to the more true grocer and those type of retailers. You know, we had a lot of orders actually get returned as well because the stores were closed. You know, so the delivery, because we were shipping so before the lockdown, and then all of a sudden the lockdown happened, the doors were closed, no one was there to receive it. So we ended up getting product back, you know, not a lot of product, not to fill a lot of orders, but that's how we did it, right? And going to the next phase, it's you know, filling the people that obviously are the the more frequent or are offering a great online presence. Because we also know e-commerce is, you know, if the pandemic is going to hit anytime, this is the generation to really hit it. You know, it's, you know, the smartphone was developed in 2007. We all have it in our hands all the time. And, you know, I look at my credit card statements now, it went up way up, you know, and it's, you know, groceries, but it's also
Amazon.
It's insane.
There's
right?
online it's something insane. Package yeah, every day. Yeah, there's boxes
yeah,
coming to
yeah,
the house.
It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, we took Lily out for a bike ride, and she met up with one of her classmates just to bike around the school and, you know, have some interaction as a kid. And the mom was talking to Amber, and I overheard them. It was typical women talk. I'll be sexist here. And they're like, we just like buying stuff just to get a box delivered. Like, it's just the excitement of getting something new. And, you know, our kids wait outside and see the UPS or the FedEx, and they're hoping to stop it at our house yeah. now. It's like, we have to buy just to get things going. So, you know, I think, you know, the way the consumer is now shopping, it's more technology-based. It's, oh, you know, I saw this, or I heard, you know, yeah. Kenny talk about a microphone. Like, literally, we were on a Zoom call last week, and Ken was talking about his new microphone he talked, you know, bought because he dropped his other one so many times. And literally, Richard just bought it. And then Ken said, oh, you need two. Oh, he bought another one. Just like literally within.
It's so seconds. Easy. And to get delivered the next day. I mean, seriously, come on, guys.
So, like, that's amazing. I think we've been ready for this in a sense, as much as we're not ready. But I think we're the technology is there to allow us to continue to thrive, right? And I think the vendor community or the manufacturers, that it really makes sure you have a diversified portfolio. You know, I talked to another friend who launched the product about a year ago, and he's mainly health food retailers that has no online presence. And his products are immunity focused. So he took a real one on the chin and has been taking one on the chin. So he's really had to pivot his whole strategy in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, looking at an e-com strategy and how does that look? What does that look?
Yeah.
And, you know, as an old school guy, he doesn't know how to adapt. So it's like, how does he look to do it? So he's, you know, doing a lot of research, doing a lot of courses, and, you know, I'll have to get him connected with you, Phil, so you can maybe, you know, get to 39 hours. But you know, it's all about that, right? So it's, you know, yeah. how do you get now into grocery where, you know, they're not going to be closed because they're deemed essential? How are you going to get into other, you know, retail outlets that, you know, will give you better visibility? You can't be just hyper-focused on one channel. And I know we have to have a diverse portfolio, just as my financial advisor tells me all the time, you know, you need to be spread across everywhere. That's really the NRC yeah. strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think the online play, you know, because it took us a few weeks to figure out what the hell was going on. And then after that, it was like, no, I'm good. I don't need to go out, right? Like, I figured out how to get groceries delivered to my door or pick up where I didn't need to get out of my car and they dropped it in my trunk, right? I had Amazon delivering me all the other stuff I needed. You know, I'm good, you know, so when second wave shows up, like that's what's going to happen.
If you're a retailer right now, do not have an online strategy.
You've got to figure it out.
It's a click and collect. Yeah. Even for like a Loblaws or a Sobeys or whatever grocery store that offered the click and collect or always had, like their sales have obviously, you know, catapulted up in that category. But if, as a brand, if you're in those stores, brick and mortar yeah. stores, if you aren't on their click and collect, you're not getting any sales. So it's really, you know, revamping that whole approach as well, making sure that you are on your retailer's website and having a good, you know, presence with some information so that people can be informed of what your products are offering. You know, if you're offering an immunity product, talk about the benefits. If you're offering a mm-hmm. weight loss or a hair growth or whatever it is, mm-hmm. like, just talk about the benefits, right? People are looking, people are searching. So it's getting those out there. So it's more digital focused more than ever.
Yeah. So from the marketer in me always asks these questions, but I'm curious as to, you know, if you think about like, the natural cycle of immunity and boosting and those sort of things, cough cold season is October. When do knowing that the consumers changed their patterns, right? That before they went to store, you could do in-store POP, those sort of things to kind of get them thinking about, hey, you know what, like school starting, you've got to boost immunities because last week of September, your kid's been intermingling bacteria with all the other kids. And guess what? They're all getting sick at the end of, you know, September, beginning of October. Knowing that you're not going to have that, what changes in terms of the way you communicate benefits now? Like when do you start that and where?
Well, I think for NRC, we're not just an immunity pigeon-toed box in that category. We live in that category in most sets, but we are really a 365-day-a-year product, right? It's a multivitamin. We have some vitamin A, vitamin E. We have some iodine for thyroid, 5 milligrams of zinc. So it is really great, but really we have a lot of electrolytes. So people would like to use it for hangovers that they are drinking, working out, travel was always a big one. You know, when I grew up, you know, we went camping everywhere. My parents always had the big thing of Tang, right? So now if we can live a healthier lifestyle, they have a big bag of NRC, right? So
you just dated yourself. You said Tang.
Oh, well, I saw a commercial plug.
Said Tang.
Oh, I love
Tang. I thought only Kenny drank that when he was a kid.
You know what, Phil? You're not that much young.
I didn't drink Tang as a kid.
Oh, bullshit. What a liar. What a liar.
Oh, Kenny looks upset now.
I had Tang. We love Tang. Because you know why? Astronauts use Tang. They went to the moon with that shit, man.
Oh, no.
We
come on. Like that, Tang. That commercial is 100% in your era only.
You're damn right. Not. We wanted to go to the moon. We drank our Tang.
That's amazing.
Kenny actually was bragging to me, I think it was this week, that he was the first or a second house on the street that he grew up that had a colored TV.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was great. And that when he went to university with his buddy, that's Frankie or whatever his name was, they had a cord remote, which I thought was great. And they were the best things in dorm,
like
I guess.
Like a cord or cordless?
We had the TV with the knobs.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was 1984.
And then
the brown box, the when you click,
with
click,
the,
click,
with
click.
The click, click yeah. buttons. Yeah, come on. Yeah. I remember that.
It's a remote control, bottom line.
And then always one of the buttons would break. Or like stick. Ours was was 3, because I think that was global for us. So my dad liked to watch global TV.
For us, it was CBC. That would have been CBC, so that would have broke.
Yeah. And then so one of the poor kids would have to hold down the button.
Yeah.
Right? Because...
But it was, though, right?
No, I dated myself.
I have a vivid memory of my dad when I was a real young kid. We had a dial TV. He brought it home thinking it was for a kid, but one of those extended arm things. So you could sit in his couch and reach and turn the dial. So
oh my god!
We were better. We had remote control, amazing. Man. Like we were. That's amazing. We were tech savvy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, Jesus, that's crazy.
Man.
I totally just lost track where we were. There we go.
So no, but that's cool because that's neat, right? Because you can boost immunities.
So it's all year round. So you're absolutely
electrolytes.
Right.
Electrolytes. Okay.
Messaging. Going into it, and you know, for the most part, you know, I hope we don't do too aggressive messaging because we haven't got the stock to really supply a really strong consumer demand pull. But if we get it right, you know, I think it's all about just keeping healthy, keeping and maintaining a healthy overall health wellness.
Supply chain is still going to be the issue, Phil. Supply chain for everybody right now is going to be the issue, it really is.
Yeah.
Because we're finally going to get caught up. And now the numbers seem to be potentially going the other way again. Right.
Well, I think that it's, this is it's not interesting, but it is interesting, right? Because it is the part that nobody ever sees, right? Is, you know, like the standard consumer goes into the store. You know, you either have products, you don't, you get angry at the store, you know, you get angry, you know, like, why didn't people, you know, people make enough, right? And then, you know, what they don't see in the background is, you know, like all of your data basically goes for shite, right? Because you're kind of plotting along, you just did this, right? Yeah. And then you did this, yeah. Right? Oh, we're on a podcast. Nobody can see this. So I'm pointing level, and then I'm pointing straight up for a spike. And then I did, you know, basically
real steep V.
Real steep V all the way down the bottom because you're shorting stock. So it's like, now you've got to figure out what the hell do I make now? And what am I betting on for a second half, right? Like, so, you know, is there a second wave? Is there not a second wave? If there is, how big is it? You know, are people going to buy? Like, you know.
What are retailers going to buy? We talked about it this week. I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Phil, but I was telling Mark today, or was it yesterday? I can't remember. But, you know, talking to two different, via myself or another person, two local retailers who have quickly figured out that you do not need a shelf of 85 flavors of a cereal. If you had 10, as long as you were in stock, you were going to sell out.
Yeah.
Right. So even retailers are looking and saying, okay, well, what do I really need on the shelf?
Nobody's staying in store long enough to choose.
Exactly. So I can maybe cut my SKU base way down. Maybe I can try to carry more of less, right? But just have it on the shelf, because I think the selection thing has gone right out the window. I don't think the three of us, when we're shopping right now, are we spending any time on the shelf, really? Are you looking at labels? Are you really impulse shop? Are you wandering the store?
Tonight.
Because you're just stressed out because we're going to be on a podcast. that's anxiety. That's a whole different worry.
I took pictures. I wanted to see what things were going. Yeah.
So what did you see, though?
Drastic holes.
So what do you see?
But I also saw some back in stock, right? I did see a very healthy stock grocery store with all the produce, all the fruit that I needed. It was there and very looking fresh, which was great. And then the meat was very well stocked, which hasn't been the case over the last.
It's been hit and miss for 2 months now.
Yeah, it was very hit and miss, but I could have had my selection and whatever I wanted. So most things are very well stocked. You know, paper towels and toilet paper were still pretty scarce. I don't know really necessarily why. If it just
and also late at night though too. That could have just been the day. I mean, you're shopping late too.
Exactly.
It would have been like that even in January, potentially. Yeah, you know what I mean?
The store was busy though, so it was very positive in that sense that it was late. And typically, it's not that busy. I used to be going early in the morning, thinking that would be the best time. But that was always the wait in line and everything else. That night, it seems to be a lot less restrictions in terms of, you know, everything goes to the side and just go on, get in and out. Yeah. But it's very tactical. I think with the shopping behaviors, right? Like I'm in there with my list, and I'm not really deviating that much from my list. Other than
How does that impact you, Mark? Though, as a salesperson, though, you're a brand. And you're a sales guy, and you have two salespeople that are three under you. You know, you're in a world where you used to have a lot more influence with stores management or the buyers, and you'd go in and you chit chat and you'd figure out how to get this end or whatever it is. Like, how does this all change now, in a post COVID world where maybe they don't even want to see you anymore? I mean, are you finding that? Is everybody giving hugs and kisses while you guys all come back into the stores? Or are people telling you, you know, can you find something else to do?
Well, it's whether or not the reps are allowed in the stores, because that's still very much a case out there. And, you know, where we can make appointments, the reps are going out there. But to answer your question, I think, you know, the old school rep mentality of, you know, pounding the pavement, going door to door, getting orders, it's essentially, I wouldn't say gone forever, but it's definitely on a hiatus for the short term, just because the whole life is different. You know, the staff are stressed, they're fatigued. You know, they don't necessarily want to talk to people as well as reps, because, you know, they're scared of what are you carrying, because you were in how many other stores before you came here, right? And that's definitely an issue. So, you know, making sure that, you know, one thing we did is we wanted to make sure that our team, if they were going to stores, they were, you know, wearing PPE and they felt comfortable. You know, if they didn't feel comfortable, we're okay with them not, you know, continuing to work from home and maintain. But for the most part, our team was, you know, they're ready to go. They wanted to get out. They're wild stallions. They wanted to run, which is great. But in terms of your question, like, I think more than ever, the marketing team and sales team need to work side by side. They need to be, you know, a cross-functional, cohesive team that are pulling on the same rope together. I think, you know, in past has been very silo in most organizations, ours in particular, mm-hmm. that, you know, marketing was doing this.
I think I'll tell you that too, from big corporations. Mm-hmm. You
know, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I think they're very silo driven. And I think more than ever, you know, there's got to be a demand for the product created before the product's even there. And I think the whole prospecting of a retailer or an account is completely different. If they don't see a pull or any kind of interest in your product or haven't seen it registering on any, you know, data, you know, they're not interested. They don't need another vitamin C, right? They want to see where are you, what are you doing, what's your strategy, right?
And I don't think they want to see you, Mark. That's a problem. I don't think they want to give you the time to do the presentations anymore. Like, I know the buyers.
I got a listing this over COVID with a major, and I haven't even talked to her on the phone. Haven't even seen her.
Thank God.
And she won't even accept my LinkedIn. She won't even accept. She just via email. You're a listed. Wow.
But that makes sense to me, right? Like, because she's looking at counter. Like, I think of the flip side, right? Like, and I think how many categories right now, if you're a buyer and you've got buy dollars, how many categories are you freaking out over because people are skipping them because they're non-essential categories, right? And so I wonder how many buyers have these, you know, kind of gluts of inventory in places that do you know what I mean, Kenny? Like,
totally.
I think, you know, you're talking, I was thinking about dead. My planogram, and I was thinking, like, fuck, I think,
yeah,
hey, think like, what you had. Half my sense, I'd be like, oh,
what are you going
to
do?
Like, what am I going to do? I got all this shit that nobody wants to buy because they're all skipping all over it right now.
But
right?
On the retailer side, what am I going to do with it? Yeah, nobody's shopping those aisles. You know why? Nobody's shopping the way they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So if I'm a buyer right now, what I'd probably be doing, to the chagrin of my bosses, I'd be buying long on some immunity right now. I'd be loading up on masks. I'd be loading up on hand sanitizers because I know for sure there is no vaccine coming. Not 2020. Not going to happen.
I think, masks, the other.
Not 2021. So there's a demand. Get ready. It is coming. Get ready.
And I think the other one, to your point, Mark, is. Because I know that the consumer, you know, like, so one is all the traditional stuff is gone, right? You don't print flyers anymore, right? If you're doing a flyer, yeah, I mean, if you're doing them, you're doing digital, is probably going to something like
Flip app or whatever. Right? Exactly.
You know, one of these ones. But the truth is, I'll bet nobody's watching them, right? Again, because I'm not looking for things on sale. I'm looking to make sure you're in stock, right? Like, I don't really care now, right? So I'm worried about, I don't want to go to 8 stores because they're all out of stock. I want to go to the one place that's going to be in stock.
But do I make the assumption that you have it on flyer that you might have it in stock? So does that move me to looking at flyers?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
People are just buying things now. They're just if you have it, you're buying it. Like, you know, we shop.
I think you're right. I don't think it matters what it is.
We just bought one. We're like, it's available. Buy it.
I think that as a buyer, I'd be looking for that hand in hand. Because, you know, if you kind of stitch together comments, like the things like the wives conversation about, I'm buying stuff because I want it delivered, you know, like, I think you've got to be able to do that decision making online. This is like omni-channel, the way we always thought it would go, right? Yeah. Except that bricks and mortar was just too strong before, right? But now it's like, you've got to get the marketing awareness up, right? Because when you're cruising down that aisle, if I can make that connection from what I saw online to what's on shelf, I'm picking it up.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because I didn't have to think about it. I've already thought.
And that's a struggle for us that we're really up against as well, is that, you know, we've relied heavily on retail staff ambassadors, you know, winning them over at the floor level that would maybe help make recommendations or help promote our products or wear a hat, wear a shirt. If people aren't in the stores, they're not seeing our beautiful displays, they're not seeing our POS material or
we're not talking to those people.
We're not communicating to them. So we really had to make it, you know, we have to make a pivot and to be more digital savvy and have more of a presence with that. How are we going to communicate to our end user or to a new user, right? Because there is probably a huge population out there that never heard of our product, a lot of products, and how are they going to get introduced to them? Right.
I guess that's what Sword is asking. I think that the change is definitely there. That the days of going in and leveraging, because, you know, when we talk about the in-store training, the ambassadors, because we're in a natural health channel, yeah, is where we were the strongest. Mm-hmm. But again, if, you know, those channels are going to struggle if they're not more broad-based players. Yeah. So I'm not going to go buy a supplement in a store with just supplements when I can go to the grocer and I can bury this all at once and I limit my exposure by half then right away.
Yeah.
Not two stores, one store. Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how do you get in there? How do we make sure that, to your point, if you walk down the aisle, oh, I remember seeing that online, or yeah, Mark, on your side, it's, you know, how do I catch that eye with maybe some POS? But how do you influence that? How do you get, you know, you're not getting the contact you were, you know, 4 months ago when you could go and shake a hand, give a hug, you know, how are the kids, this and that. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. Like, it's, you know, it's how do you work this world?
Man, yeah, and so, you know, in the old school, you know, demoing approach in stores,
that's,
you
dead.
Know, that's done, right? But, you know, thankfully, for NRC,
take a sip of really this. Different.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. And one of the strategies we've done with online retailers in the past is, like, we've offered little sachets, because NRC is so unique that we are a single serve packet that people can instantly try and go, wow, it tastes good, right? This is healthy for me. This is great, right? I'm gonna buy it again, right? So we have done that sampling approach, and that's great, but that's only one little small vehicle, and taste is so subjective that not everybody may not like the flavor they got, right? So it's really hard to do it. But if you can really capture them with some really strong content to really help them make an informed buying decision of why they're buying whatever product it is, if it's energy or whatever it may be, that's the best approach. And that's really the approach everybody's got to, I think, transition and shift to. So, and I think that's where, you know, Phil, your 38 hours is never going to be 38 hours ever, because I think you're going to be in high demand.
Yeah, I think you're.
I'm trying to get 38 hours. I'm trying to get 38 hours.
Hey, easy. You're young. You got to do your time.
No, take it easy.
Exactly.
Hey, this is like, I'm like doing 38 hours today at 11:55. This is crazy.
That's okay. Yeah. You're young. Just relax.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Just relax.
That's amazing. Mark, thank you for coming on the show.
I'm glad you did it, man.
Yeah, well, we're really glad you did it.
I'm glad you guys finally made time for me.
Like, you're so full of it. Chicken shit. So easy to do.
If people want to find you,
they want to talk to you or learn something or get their perspective.
If they also want to find NRC, where do they find it? And then where do they find you if they want to find you?
Most any health food retailer, any major grocer, any online retailer that specializes in health
what
products.
What section
can get NRC
of the major retailers would they find it in?
We are found in the natural sections of those retailers. We are not in the traditional OTC sets. We are in the natural focus with our great tasty non-GMO Canadian made effervescent vitamin C that comes in a variety of different flavors, but buy only peach mango today, please, because that's the one we have in stock.
That's all we have. Do not buy
If you're looking for cranberry now, you know, maybe in the fall. If you're looking for pineapple coconut, it may be longer.
Maybe in the new year.
But we're trying to get our top sellers in there. So orange is great. Raspberry is my favorite. Lemon lime and peach mango. Where they can find, I'm on LinkedIn. Don't ask me what my handle is. I'm sure you'll post something, Phil, and
I'll post a link.
They can get in contact with me. And if anybody wants to talk, I'm happy to talk. I'm always happy to help.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
All right,
thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate glad. It. Thanks, Kenny.
Go to bed. So no 7 o'clock call.
I'm glad I was on with my boy Phil. Thanks, Ken, Mr. Bernucci. It's great to meet you.
I'm great. This is great.
So 7 o'clock tomorrow morning or not? Are we done? No 7 call? Like, what are we doing?
No. I'll be up. I'll be wired. I'm on adrenaline now. I gotta go calm down and do some push-ups or something. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks. See you later, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it. Went well.
That's awesome. Yeah, they went really well. Yeah.
It's crazy though. It's going to be a really, you know, and because his world's morphing drastically too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're landing some majors in the States, majors in Canada. So his whole role, I don't want him doing, I only want him doing key account and big play, because that's where he's gifted to do it.
Yeah.
But he's a street level sales guy. If this is 5 years ago and he's not in the position he's in now, how does he survive out there? Because he needs the hugs and the kisses and the chit chat. It's a bitch. Like, there's retailers do all want to see a lot of salespeople.
Yeah.
You can't train Phil to go to the set when a Kathy comes in and says, can you explain this to me? Because first off, Kathy ain't asking. She doesn't want to talk to you. You don't want to talk to her.
Yeah.
So unless there's something compelling to the shelf, or I already know what I'm looking at, it's going to be, I think the days of impulse are pretty much dead.
Dude, there's so many things that change. I mean, you know, impulse changes. You think sales decks are now dead, right? Because you can't send a sales deck. Nobody cares, right? You might as well send the single sheet over, right? Like with the dimensions.
You just make sure you get to the picture and the cost.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you're selling. What are you selling me now?
I think the only other thing that would go in that deck that used to get discarded that will get picked up now is the marketing bit, right?
I'll tell you the truth. I was going to say that. The pages, because you're a marketer, when you guys all came in and showed us, oh, we're going to be on Facebook and we're going to be in McLean's.
Who cares? Yeah. Now it actually matters.
Now it's going to be okay. Yeah. You know what? I don't give a shit what your product is. You got trades, but yeah, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
So how are we going to know about your product?
I think
Mark's completely valid that if sales and marketing, because sales and marketing, for those who don't know, I've always had, it's a combative
acrimonious
relationship.
Relationship.
It's a shitty relationship. It really is. Yeah. They need each other, and neither side realizes that.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time, and if for a young guy, like he gets it, which is pretty impressive too.
Yeah.
Is that if there's ever a time where marketing and sales must work together, it is now. It's now. If you're gonna lose the battle. If you don't get your shit together as a sales team or work with marketing and vice versa, it's going to be tough out there. It really is.
Well, that it's such a, it's small and huge at the same time, right? Is that, you know, we always guess that consumers were going online. Now they're going online. They're really going online. They're reading, they're absorbing, they're buying. So yeah.
You know what, if there was ever, like if we talked even, let's say, like literally in January, just January this year, you and I would have made it the story because we know it's true. Online's critical. Online's important. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
6 months later, there's no fucking guessing anymore. If you do not have an online place, a retailer, I hate to tell you, you are really going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Or you better give me a damn compelling reason to come to your store.
Yeah.
Like maybe a Costco is going to function well.
Yeah.
Or Walmart. But a little guy, buddy, it's going to be tough. If we go through I don't know how we're going to manage a second phase or a second wave. Pardon me.
No, I think a second wave. So one is, I hope people are taking the liberty of stage two, you know, whatever your version of stage two is. And like not just enjoying themselves, but also, you know, doing some things that you didn't do in phase one, right? So, you know, if you need more space in the house and you have the ability to expand, you should be doing that. If you need desks, you need, you know, like all those sort of things that you couldn't do, you should do them now. You know, those are kind of important things, right? And then I actually think that stage two might be slightly easier because all the businesses that couldn't format in time, so the restaurants that had to close down, like all those guys, they are gonna hopefully go through a bunch of rapid transformations, right? Like anyone who had dine in,
if they can maintain revenue, if they can survive now, they might. The challenge for them, unfortunately, is whether they can survive on half, 25 to 50% capacity.
Yep. Well,
some of this is going to be just completely out of their hands, unless, again, you said takeout, come in and get and go, whatever you want to say. Yeah. So yes,
I think it's
a completely changed world. I mean, we've had a lot of shit change in the last 30 years. Like we've been through a lot of things,
but never
as a society. Like really, like computer, cell phones.
Fundamentally,
like fucking ridiculously life changes, but still took some time, 3 months. And I have no idea what the long-term implications of this thing is.
Well, it's unbelievable. Basically made dine in obsolete. Right. And so if you're a fancy restaurant, so you think of like, I'm not picking on them, but the first one that popped in my head, like the keg, right? Their whole thing is like, you're going to overspend, you're going to overpay, you know, like you're going to come in because it's an experience. You're going to come in, you're going to hang out for 3 hours. You're going to buy some drinks. It is all gone. Yeah. Right. And so when you're down to it, you're like, okay, well, what do you have? I have steak and a baked potato. I can do that at home now. I stocked up on steaks. Okay, that's all I got. Right? You know what I mean?
What do they sell you? Atmosphere they had when they had 250 people in the bar.
Yeah.
Well, now there's 100.
Yeah.
Now it's just a big empty space.
Now it's a quarter, right? It's if you had 200, you know.
It's hard. Like 50. So that's why I think it's going to be interesting coming up. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where this all goes, right? I mean, it's going to be, I mean, like anything, there's going to be a lot of heartache. And the problem is it's coming fast and furious. That's the challenge with it.
Yeah.
A lot of time.
The speed
is. So you and I said the opportunities will also be there.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of opportunities. Yeah. You just got to be ready to go and grab them.
Speaking of which, I talked to someone that I know, and he's pivoting. So he runs a software company, and he has his back end software he uses for, you know, other industries, but realized that he could use this for retail. So he's looking at putting together a prototype where it doesn't matter where your website is, right? So it doesn't matter who hosts your website, how it's designed or anything like that. He has the ability to put a buy button or an order now button on your site to help facilitate buying online. So imagine so all those things that we worried about, right? So that you and I and Taz talked about, you and I have been talking about for months now.
Yeah.
You're a mom and pop fish and chip store. You have a basic online site on Wix or whatever it is, right? And, the gap to like order online is huge, right? So in the beginning of COVID, we said, don't worry about the technology. Just have them call your phone number. You'll do it old school, you know, write down the thing and then whatever. But he now has, so he's figured out that the infrastructure he has in his software, he can actually facilitate putting a button on whatever your website is. So if you have it on Wix, you have it on WordPress, whatever, he can put a buy button up for you and run the infrastructure in the background that allows you to be able to get people to get you orders so that you can do it all online without having to go through programming and all that
shit. Jesus, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, because the stumbling block is the Shopify.
Yeah. It's all the 18 steps you need in between before you're actually
thinking, oh my God. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's so easy. Again,
it's
the easy. Oh yeah. It's easy. Yeah. Until you think, I don't know how to do this.
No. Really? I gotta plug this into what? And what has to happen? And like, yeah. So he and I walk through what it looks like. He's building the prototype this week. And then he actually is looking for people that would want to test this. So if you have someone in mind, if you have someone in mind, reach out to us on the show and I will get you connected. I have a couple of mom and pops in my area that I'm going to reach out to as well. He's going to do it for free. So he's literally going
to
go.
Dom might be able to do it, whether it's at the deli or if we want to try even on our webpage, the commercial drive. I know Eamon's just gone through and done a lot of that, but it'd be interesting just to see what it does.
Yeah. So I'll let you know the prototype. He's supposed to finish it this following next week. So, and then we'll hook up again and then I'm going to find him some guinea pigs and he's going to try it out.
I love that on the show.
That'll be really interesting. He was like, do you think? And I was like, yes. Oh my God. You have no idea how many.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Cool. Right. So very cool.
Very cool. You know, you're so smart.
You're just like a mini computer. I'm not smart. I'm not doing anything. This is just people coming to me.
You a smarty pants. It's okay. Yeah. Don't feel bad. You should be proud of yourself. You're a smarty pants. That's good. That's why I like you, because I hang out with you. It makes me feel better because you're smarty pants.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I got to add some more work, man. I'm not at my 38 yet, but I'm enjoying myself at 20 hours.
Really? I just dropped one.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Today. Good I just for you. Freed up about 4 days a month.
Yeah.
It's not going to last.
Any enjoy? Well,
if I just up freed up 4 days a month, more or less.
Yeah.
Another account, you already knew, so I'm going to halftime in July.
Okay.
So that's another probably day and a half. Okay.
Wow.
So I just picked up almost like a full week.
Yeah.
That I don't know what I'm going to do with that time.
Nothing.
You know, I'm seriously thinking of that. Although Dom has asked me if I don't mind taking some additional responsibilities on. It's hard with Dom because Dom's like a brother.
So you lose an extra day there, yeah, right? But you still got like 4 days, 3 days in the month, right?
I think what I'm going to try to figure out is probably where you're at is I'm just trying to figure out how much the money means or doesn't mean.
Yeah.
And right now, today, and not because I have a lot of money or make a lot of money, because I know people might think that, and you really got to know people before you can make those assumptions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much it matters. Like, we've done okay because we're not spending as much because of COVID. We're not driving as much, like the whole thing. I think for the next little while, I think we could run really comfortably on a three-quarter month, which, by the way, do the math, not a 38. Ha. Huh. That's
amazing.
30. A 30 or 32.
That's
amazing. And you can't have that. You pick your own number. You don't have to copy all the time.
Okay. Well, me. But so part of this is the same thing, right? Like, so Kathy just started this cool job. She's working at the Royal Ontario Museum now.
That's pretty cool, though.
I know. So I was like, oh, my God. But so I've been working. I've just been working the hours that I have. And then, you know, I'm hanging out with the kids. I'm cooking all the meals, which I really love.
Doing that anyway. We're getting a dog.
Yeah. You know, like, and then the dog loves it, you know, like, and so we did the same sort of thing. And she was like, no, you got to go. You know, she's like, you love it too much. You got to go back. Like, you got to go find more work.
I don't know.
I was like,
why?
I'm okay with this. Like, I'm super sharp with the people that I need to be with. Right. Like, I'm 100% sure I'm delivering value now because I'm focused on what I want and I love what I do. And, you know, like,
buddy, I'm feeling the same way. I'm feeling a little bit of juice. I'm feeling kind of juiced. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know what?
Less is more.
It's definitely going to be less. It'll be less money, but more time. And quite frankly, I think that's not a bad trade.
Yeah.
Not a bad trade-off.
Yeah. I mean, I think of just, you know, the conversations I have with Chloe, right? And then like some of the research that I'm doing in the background. Yeah. And just how, you know, clear and I can look at it with such clarity, I think, is...
I get it. You know, I just did something for Jax today that they didn't ask me to do, but it was just bugging me. But I had like 5 or 6 hours of around time that I just thought, you know, when I started doing it, and then I went on and I bought some data because I needed some, I thought, what? Yeah, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care. I'm kind of thinking this might be okay. I'll probably be like you. We'll see how long it lasts. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great idea today, and tomorrow I'll be all freaking uptight and bored.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I don't know what we want to do. We're going to get a dog. I didn't tell
you. You are.
I think we're going. Yeah, I've already picked it out. So we're going to get a dog.
No way.
I got my friend Carol, who's a dog breeder, and she's just wicked. She's looking for me. So that's going to happen.
What kind of dog? Do you know what you're getting?
Yeah. A Cavalier King James.
Okay. Yeah.
What are they called? You know how I did it?
I don't think it's a King James. I think it's a Cavalier. King Charles. Yeah.
So the thing was, you know, I'll tell you how I pick a dog, right? So one thing everybody says, you gotta pick a dog based on your personality, blah, 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 right? So I'm going through these things and I don't want a big dog. So I want a small dog.
Yeah.
So you know what I did? couch potato dog. I found my dog.
But they shed though, eh? Are you okay with that? Shit.
Couch
okay,
you potato don't dog. Okay. This okay. dog, when you read the personality of this dog, that's my dog. This dog, I think this is me and a dog. I think that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a mini me. Mini me. I am stoked. The kids are stoked immediately. Like, we're all excited about, well, I mean, we got to find this dog now. So Carol's on the hunt. But yeah. And then we got, I think I told you years ago, we bought a lot years ago on Vancouver Island. We're thinking with a buddy. I think we're going to build on it. We're going there on the 7th. I think we might build a house.
That's amazing.
But I'll
are you going to build it? You're going to design it? You're going to build it?
I'm not going to build it by hand. No, I don't have that. I'm not going to get a contractor. We're going to actually do it.
I'd come out and build it with you.
Right? Oh, man, I built the house, buddy. It's a lot of work. But you know what? Yeah. I'm just thinking. I've got time.
Yeah.
And to think about it. So, I mean, it's, you know, again, trust me, we're in a very good spot. We're both of us here. We have the luxury of being a little older, probably save some money. We're not in brutal spots. But the fact that I can free up maybe 4 or 5 days a month, I could go to the island once a week if I want to.
Yeah.
We'll take a look at, like, be involved. When we built this house, thank God Amelia was a little more flexible than I was in London, because it was a bitch. It was really tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I've got this time where I'm thinking, you know what?
I could do this. Yeah.
I could do it. I definitely could. I think
brother, that's amazing.
Consider you said 2 months ago, and I thought there's no way you can do a 38 hour. Now I'm thinking, geez, I wonder if I could do a 30.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So today I actually turned down an SEO job. Wow, they were like, awesome. You know, like, we, and I was like, nah,
no,
I don't, you're
holding firm.
You know, I am. Cause I like, I don't want it. I'm not going to be happy doing it. Like I can do good it in my sleep. I don't want it, you know? So
I get it.
You know? Yeah. 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 It's cool.
Okay. We're an hour and a half, an hour 15 again.
Yeah, too long. We are.
We left this a long time ago anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.